Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, it begins today. NBA free agency kicks off. Who will be the Lakers 601 phone call? That's 301 Pacific time. That's all next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, particularly weekends like the one we've got coming up where free agency is percolating. That's a great place to check out the podcast. Always fresh Lakers content, and particularly on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. That's where all the breaking news goes as it happens. So make sure you're subscribed there. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. And so you will never, ever miss important Lakers content. I do want to let you know that Locked On Lakers is partnering with Arcade 1UP to give away three free NBA Jam Shaq machines. That's right, three. These are the guys, Andy, who are known for making the incredible retro three-quarter scale at-home arcade games like Pac-Man, Golden Tee, and many more. So to enter to win, you go to arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon for your chance to win one of these three machines. Andy, it's free agency day. Do you know where Timofey Mozgov is?
Well, you know, Brian, My longstanding conspiracy theory about how Timofey Mozgov became fatefully the 2016 1201 call for the Lakers that offseason. Mitch Kupchak accidentally butt dialed him. He didn't mean to call him, actually, but
it was Timofey picked polite, up and it was just too polite to hang up.
Just becomes awkward. He's like, okay, how does 4-64 sound?
Hey, Timofey.
Here's the thing, too. Mm-hmm. I understood the Mozgov signing. He was coming off a pretty good playoff run with the Cavaliers. He would have served a need. The Lakers needed rebounding. They needed some defense. It was a position where he wouldn't have been really blocking anybody of importance. The problem was the optics. And what they needed to do was just tell Mozgov, like, look, man, we promise you this money's coming. We swear to you. We cannot leak this thing for another 10, 11 hours just because
at least Timofey Mozgov might require a solid half day.
Right. Like, look, you got to give us 12 hours because let's be honest, you're Timofey Mozgov. We want you. Don't get us wrong.
We can't look like we want you that bad.
Work with us. You have our word that this money's coming, but just can't be the 1201 call.
Right. And so now, of course, the NBA has changed its rules. It's no longer a 1201 phone call. Andy, free agency begins Thursday today at 6 o'clock on the East Coast. So 301 on the West Coast. So you might still be at work, valued listener, as the Lakers begin making their free agent signings. And, you know, obviously we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how the Lakers are going to do this. You know, we've got some names that we're going to throw around on today's show. Certainly it's been a very busy day in the NBA as teams prepare for the beginning of free agency season. But one of the big things the Lakers have to figure out, in addition to what kinds of players they want to sign, what are the greatest positions of need and all that, is who is going to be the big priority? Where are they going to go to spend the one large exception that they have, the taxpayer mid-level exception worth a little bit more than $6 million in a season? Where are they going to try to spend it? Because they have a lot of needs and they only have one exception. So what would your approach be if you, Andy, were, you know, leading the front office in this search?
You know, I mean, it's a tough question to answer, Brian. We've spent a lot of time focusing on the need for two-way wings. Mm-hmm. And that's frankly been something the team's been lacking in a lot over the last few years. Even the year they won a title, it was a year where they managed to get by despite not having a lot of that on paper. So you could easily decide that's the area to focus. You look at the two teams that made it to the finals, the team that won the championship in Golden State. Both of those teams were steeped in wings. But at the same time, man, the Lakers could use more depth up front, you know, fours and fives. It's interestingly enough, Orlando declined their, I guess, their option or their rights with Mo Bamba. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be now
not totally a surprise, but
He's going to be an unrestricted free agent heading into this offseason. And our friends at Bet Online have the Lakers at one of the clubhouse leaders for betting favorites. If Mo Bamba is not on Orlando, which it seems like he won't be, the Mavericks, despite having just traded for Christian Wood, they're the clubhouse leader at 3-1. But then the Lakers just behind at 7-2. Milwaukee is right after them at 4-1, which struck me as a little odd considering they have Brook Lopez and by all expectations, they're going to keep Bobby Portis. But I was mostly surprised with the Lakers, them being that high, not because of the need, because Mo Bamba actually would be a terrific fit who I think could address a few needs for the Lakers. I wasn't sure they would be able to afford him. And maybe
and it remains to be seen whether they can. I think, you know, that the part of this, whether you're talking about Bamba, whether you're talking about, you know, Otto Porter, whether you're talking about the possibility of bringing Malik Monk back, you know, we had Jovan Buha from The Athletic on Wednesday's show, who talked about, you know, Monk's willingness to stay in LA perhaps for less, which means maybe he would pass up a full mid-level for a taxpayer mid-level. We don't know. But like so much of this is dependent on how the market breaks down. And, you know, Bamba is a really interesting case because, you know, statistically speaking, you look at what he does and, you know, 25 minutes a game last year in Orlando, over 10 points a game, almost two blocks, you know, shot 78% from the free throw line, you know, eight rebounds a game, 38% from 3-point range, which is by far a career high. So there's the question of,
but it was on four attempts per game.
It was good volume.
Sizable volume.
You know, no question. And it's the first year he shot them at volume, but there's always that concern when a guy has a breakout season from 3-point range, regardless of, you know, how tall they are.
Absolutely.
As to whether or not it's you know, the exception or what will become the rule. And, you know, what drives it home for me, because, you know, we've had this conversation, we've had the wings conversation. The other thing that I think is really interesting about the choice, whether it's Bamba or Porter, and we can talk about which guy you would take there, or, you know, either of those guys, or the continuity that comes with Malik Monk, a player like Isaiah Hartenstein, who I think is a sneaky good player you could get up in the front.
What court. Type of big do you want, period, for this
team? So many questions about how the Lakers spend this money, what they should prioritize, what kind of player they should prioritize, because it sounds strange to say it in a struggling economy, perhaps, but you can't get a perfect player for $6 million. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Arcade 1UP, the one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader at home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best game ever, but it is bigger than ever with a Shaq edition machine, one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and now no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards. You can pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com, for an estimated September shipping time. So early September, it could arrive. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They got classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others starting at just $399. And they are giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Could be you. Yes, you. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You got until July 8th, that is coming up soon, to enter for a NBA Jam Shaq edition console. Don't wait. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with?
So, all right. The Lakers, you know, we're talking about Mo Bamba. You know, the Otto Porter question is out there for people who don't realize it. You know, that the Warriors are basically in the same situation the Lakers are in with Monk, where they can only offer Otto Porter
kind of a limited amount of salary. They can't give him anything more than their taxpayer mid-level, which they might need to use on someone else. So, you know, there's some wiggle room potentially in where these guys could land. Dante DiVincenzo is another name that popped up today. Sacramento not picking up their option on him for next year. That makes DiVincenzo, who at least a couple years ago was seen as an ascending player, shot 38% from three-point range for the Bucks, then got hurt and has been kind of a big question mark since then. You have the Malik Monk question. Figuring out the priorities on where you want to spend this, because like this guy that they get, Andy, is to some degree the domino that pushes over everything else that happens in the rest of the offseason. Potentially, at least, it has that potential to be that.
Well, I mean, look at how much the Lakers missed last season with Kendrick Nunn unavailable, like for the entire year. And obviously, that's a really, extreme case. You know, I mean, it's very unusual for a guy to end up without a pre-existing injury missing an entire season.
Sure.
But there had been a lot of, you know, there had been a lot of hope and I think optimism pegged to Kendrick Nunn. I mean, like he had been expected to have a really big role on the Lakers last season. And hopefully he comes back this season healthy and he becomes the functional equivalent of another free agent acquisition. It's not the way you want it to happen, but for all intents and purposes,
yeah, but that's essentially what he is. It's like they signed an extra player.
But my point being, these guys matter. Like, you know, your mid-level guys typically matter a lot, but for the Lakers in this particular situation, they matter a ton.
Yeah. And it informs, the experience informs what you do. Like, you know, a guy like Bamba who, last year was healthy, but the year before had some health questions and has throughout his career had, you know, injury issues and a distinct inability to stay on the floor. It's a risk reward thing for the Lakers, because like you say, you saw what happened when Kendrick Nunn couldn't play, and that's not the Lakers' fault. They shouldn't have seen it coming or something like that.
No.
But we spent a lot of time talking about Porter and, you know, the question of whether or not it would be smart to use their money on him. And the reticence there was, this is your one shot at signing, you know, a player of consequence. And if that guy can't play and you go into it knowing that you're taking a major risk that signing won't be available. I mean, on the one hand, the Lakers have to decide what kind of risk reward ratio they want here. They're going to need probably to contend for a title. They're probably going to need somebody who outperforms that salary slot. I think they're going to need, you know, whether it's Bamba or Porter or some, they're going to need somebody who feels like a 10 or 11, $12 million, $15 million player, as opposed to a $6 million guy. The only way you sign that player is to take a risk. Generally, there's a reason that player is available at that price.
Yeah, I mean, somebody like DiVincenzo specifically, I don't think I would use the Lakers, you know, full mid-level on him or even necessarily make him a target, just because he's got utility for this team, but he's also much more, I think, of a guard as opposed to like a guard forward.
And yeah, he's a 2-3, not a 3-4. That's for
right.
Sure.
Well, I think he is closer to a 1-2 than a 2-3.
Right. He's 6'4". I mean, he's not a huge guy.
Right. And he feels, you know, he'd automatically be the best defensive guard on this team. Take this as much of a backhanded compliment as you want. But, you know, he can hit outside shots. He's a good player, but it just feels like he would be in some respects just enhancing a logjam as opposed to filling out more needs for this team.
Right.
Like, look, all things being equal, I would try to use that mid-level exception on Otto Porter Jr. or maybe like Caleb Martin from Miami, like a more of a wing and a guy that plays on both sides of the ball. But, you know, we've gone through the last few days, like that list that Bobby Marks from ESPN had of guys that he pegged, and, you know, this can be an exact science, but somewhere between more than a veteran's minimum and a taxpayer mid-level exception, the wings on that list were not particularly enticing.
No.
Were that the case, like, if you can't get Otto Porter Jr., you can't get Martin, I would start seriously considering either Mo Bamba or Hartenstein, or starting to look in other directions, just because I think even though wings might be the most glaring need for this team, particularly when you start thinking about what matters most in the playoffs, I think you then just have to start thinking about who are the best players we can possibly get. What are the best investments?
Right. And it's Bamba or Malik Monk. You know, it's like both guys, you know, Bamba comes with more injury risk. I think he's probably in some way, you know, it could be a little bit, you know, certainly more helpful, I think, defensively than Monk is. There's less redundancy on the roster.
You can play Mo Bamba and Anthony Davis together. Absolutely.
I think so. I think you absolutely, I mean, especially with Bamba's. If Bamba proves to be the type of shooter that he was last year, it actually is a really good setup because it can help keep Anthony Davis, further, closer to the basket. It gives you options to do things. You could run four or five, you know, Anthony Davis is a good enough ball handler. I mean, you could even, you know, have Bamba screening for Davis. Like you could get creative with this setup, or, you know, have LeBron and Bamba working a pick and pop while Davis is moving away from the ball. There's a lot of stuff that I think you could do opening up the floor. The key is you're talking about kind of a modern big, and Bamba is that guy. Even Hartenstein, to some degree, is that guy. He's not an outside shooter, but he's very versatile. He's got a lot of hops. He moves the ball well. He, you know, is a really effective role man, good at cleaning up at the basket and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't spread the floor, but he is skillful in the way that modern bigs need to be. I would be happy if that was where they went. I would
put Hartenstein really quickly, Brian.
I'm sorry, I mean to say, I would probably still, as much as I like Monk, especially if you think you're going to keep THT and Kendrick Nunn, and they're not going to be packaged in another trade, I would probably prioritize getting that one good big to go with Anthony Davis over keeping somebody like Monk.
Yeah. I mean, Monk was a great story for the Lakers last year. You know, as we talked about with Jovan Buha, he seems like a really good dude, and I'm really happy for this success. That being said, he might be able to get more than the Lakers can offer him anyway, and perhaps in a situation that would also make him happy. And, you know, you could from a pure value add, do a hell of a lot worse than Malik Monk at six sure. mil per, you know, per season. I mean, that's a steal in terms of production, but in terms of actually trying to buff out this roster that has so many holes, I just don't feel like Monk addresses nearly as many areas of problems than some of these other guys we were named. Really quick, I was going to say with Hartenstein, I could picture him serving in certain ways like Andrew Bogut used to with the Warriors, where he didn't have an outside shot, but he was such a good passer. And I don't think Hartenstein's at that level.
Right.
You know, Bogut was an elite passer for a sure. big man, but Hartenstein's pretty good. And I think he moves off the dribble better than Bogut. But either way, like
he's certainly somebody, better athlete, pure athlete right. than Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, he is somebody that you have to pay attention to further from the basket, even if he's not going to shoot, because you know he is both a good passer and a willing passer.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, one of the things that I like about all the names that we've talked about, Bamba, I think is 25,
something like that.
Caleb Martin is 26, I believe, will be 26 at the beginning of the season, something like that. The other Martin, definitionally, also the same age. You know, Hartenstein is not an older player. Like we're the oldest of the guys we're talking about in this group is Otto Porter, 29. Just turned 29. So was last year's performance from Porter, he played 63 games, 22 minutes a night for Golden State. Was that enough for you to feel like, okay, I'm confident in that guy going forward? Or would you rather go a little bit younger with somebody like Bamba? Doesn't fill the need, but is younger at the very least, has his own injury issues, but is younger. He's 24. Or a player like Martin, who is a little bit more durable.
I mean,
look, has shown to be a little bit more durable, but has much less experience.
If you bring in Otto Porter Jr. on any type of long-term deal, you're going to be nervous about the health ramifications. But assuming he stays healthy, Porter to me seems like the guy that you're going to get the most value and versatility out of. And particularly if this team does go on a deep playoff run, there could be times where you wonder what, say, Mo Bamba's role is going to be. Off the top of my head, I don't even know if he's ever been to the playoffs. I mean, he's been on Orlando this whole time, so
I don't believe so. Maybe they were one and done. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But you know, you've seen this stuff with Porter. Like, you know,
he is not. I'm looking it up. He is not.
Right. You know what Porter can do in, you know, really high leverage moments. He seems to me like the best addition in terms of potentially getting the most out of him. You know, he can take certain defensive assignments that can either take heat off LeBron, you know, take some heat off Russ in a totally different way. You know, like, there's a lot that somebody like him can bring you, and you just keep your fingers crossed and hope he stays healthy.
Right. Caleb Martin, to be just, there are too many Martins, but both Caleb and Cody would be good additions, I think, to the team. Caleb is a little bit better of a three-point shooter than his brother. Played fewer games than his brother did last year. Cody Martin is a restricted free agent. That is something to keep in mind when you do these things. You know, when you are trying to make your play for the one large exception, you don't necessarily want to use it on a restricted guy, because a lot of things can happen while, you know, the other team has the, you know, even that day or two or whatever it is now to make their decision. So I would be surprised if they went after a restricted free agent, but either one of those players would be good additions. Let's look at some things that have already gone down. John Wall is going to be a Clipper rather than a Laker. Some other big deals around the NBA that happened in front of free agency. So we'll get to all of that stuff next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Sakara, plant-rich, nutrient-dense meals, snacks, and supplements that nourish without sacrificing taste or quality. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. I had the breakfasts, lunches, and dinners. They sent a peach parfait for my breakfast, which just, oh my God, this felt like you were eating dessert, except it's totally healthy. The protein power plate with lentils, cauliflower, a rainbow carrot, a cooling coconut yogurt, turmeric flatbread. It was really, really good. And the French lentil soup, also quite tasty. It's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat, from their best-selling metabolism superpower to the foundation and their daily supplement packs. Sakara's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off on their first order when they go to Sakara.com/lockedon, or just enter the code locked on at the checkout. That's Sakara, Sakara.com/lockedon20. Get 20% off your first order. Again, Sakara.com/lockedon20.
Before we jump back into the other stuff, I do want to make a note of this. This from Mark Deeks, NBA, covers the NBA for Forbes. Having exercised his player option for 22-23, Russell Westbrook will, after the moratorium, be eligible for an extension up to a maximum of 4 years and $221,386,600, which is more than he could get on the open market.
You know, Brian, we hear from...
I want to give that tweet from Mark Deeks a James Worthy-style slow clap, because that is so dry and so brilliantly phrased as he is a joke. I mean, applause for that man, because that is well executed. One other thing I wanted to ask about with the free agency in terms of the approach, because I thought this was fascinating this morning, and I'm not here to grade the veracity of this, because especially at this time of year, rumors start because agents are trying to drum up interest in their players. Blake Griffin was a name that on Wednesday morning was attached via Twitter to the Lakers as a team that would show interest in that when free agency begins. Both as a player and as a type, because Blake Griffin is the archetype of the player they would have signed last year to a free agent contract. He'd have fit right in. He might almost even be too young. How old is Blake? Like 34 or something like that. He might be too young for them to sign last year. Would you be okay with that? Like, how many of these guys, literally or figuratively, is it okay for the Lakers to bring in?
I mean, look, without going too far down the rabbit hole, because like you said, this may be just nothing but just sort of...
Again, that's why I thought of it less, not just as the player, but also as a concept. He's 33.
It depends on who else is on this team and what you're looking for Griffin. I mean, he did not have a good season with Brooklyn, and he fell out of rotation. I mean, if you're asking him to play, say, 12 to 15 minutes a night as a backup center, you could do worse than that. I mean, you know, he still is a really good passer. I mean, he's somebody that can actually facilitate offense. He's improved as an outside shooter. He's a smart player, as has always been. Certainly our experience will be around the Clippers, but everything I've heard since, he's good in a locker room, all that sort of stuff. If he is an outlier in terms of the, I guess, overarching type age-wise for this team, fine. If he doesn't feel more exception than rule, then, you know, I'm going to blame some of the people in this room.
Yeah, I feel like you get one Blake Griffin. Like you, and it can be Blake Griffin. If you want it to be literally Blake Griffin, that's okay. I think you get one of these guys. And everybody after that needs to be at least under 30. And if they do it,
we'll even accept turning 30.
Yeah. During the season.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I can live with that. And especially, you know, you're on a 1-year deal, so it's not like you're making a long-term, but you get my point. I feel like you don't want to cut yourself off completely from players who might be useful and have value as a, you know, like you said, 15 minute a night backup or whatever, but the Lakers need availability this year. And you know, they've picked up the option on Stanley Johnson. They picked up the option on Wenyen Gabriel. And so, like, not surprising moves, either one of those things, but yeah, as much as anything, they need the supporting cast to be available. And that was, they had two problems last year. Those guys weren't always very good, and then they weren't always available. And like, that's the worst possible combination that you could have. They're going to need all the help they can get. And that starts with picking guys who at least have a chance to be on the floor.
Again, one guy like Blake Griffin, fine, you know, can be Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. If it starts feeling more like him, then you just either you question their approach or you just recognize like they are in such a bad position to actually build a roster that they've just dug a hole they can't get out of.
If they re-sign Trevor, I'm kidding.
These are 12-1
call. I mentioned Stanley Johnson and Wenyen Gabriel. Any surprise there?
Nope. I don't even think they were sweating this whole time. They it's too economically simple to bring those guys back. I mean, mm-hmm. Stanley Johnson makes a little over $2 million. Wenyen Gabriel makes a little under $2 million. It's too good a value add for either one of them.
Yeah, and I would say, like, you know, I talked about it earlier in the week. Like, I don't think those guys performed so well that like you have to bring. They didn't, to use that value comparison, you know, with the mid-level guy who make, you know, signs for $6 million, plays at 15. Stanley Johnson, I don't think played at like a $10 million level on a $2 million contract, but they certainly played well enough. And the Lakers have still, what is it, 7 roster spots potentially that they need to fill, maybe more. If you have that many, you don't want to create 2 more by letting guys go who would be exactly the types of players that you'd be signing anyway. So I'm happy to see both of those guys come back, and we'll see what they end up doing. One interesting thing.
Plus, if they want to try to make moves at all, really
quickly.
That
was exactly where I was going.
They need some salary filler. So,
right. And that came up again on Wednesday with Matt Moore at the Action Network, talking about different rumors and stuff. And, you know, he gets to the Pacers and talks about Miles Turner, and he talks about Malcolm Brogdon. And those are guys that are, always rumored to be on the block, particularly given where Indiana is right now. But he did kind of casually drop in there that the Lakers are still, Andy, interested in their white whale, Buddy Hield.
The white whale that they actually had on the hook.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you reel in a whale or how this works, but they
Google's
literally
how
had
to catch a whale.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to. It's really these days.
Well, but they had the thing netted, hooked, whatever is the approach to whale fishing. They had it, and then they decided to go
harpoons.
Then they decided
they had harpooned Buddy Hield.
They decided to go for a completely different mammal altogether than this whale. It's interesting, though.
You should have thrown that one back.
I did some back of the cocktail napkin math on Buddy Hield and the Lakers. Napkins,
fancy.
And you know, you never know how this thing could get expanded out if, you know, if these conversations are going back again. With Hield, though, I mean, first of all, there's just the question of fit issues and, you know, addressing different, you know, he's a really good shooter who I think is much better suited as a super high end bench scorer than a starter. And his, those percentages from outside, for what it's worth, have dropped since early in his career. So you wonder if that's the greatest use of 20 mil. He's definitely not going to help the starting unit defensively, but then you just get into the question of how you do this, because THT, Nunn, Wenyen Gabriel, and Stanley Johnson as the package comes up about 300,000 short of making the deal cap legal. Like the Lakers need to add 300,000.
Right. Assuming your math is right, which
yeah,
I'm always suspicious of.
I think it is. So then it's like, okay, do you add
a deal Austin? With THT and THT and Nunn and Gabriel and Johnson?
Right.
Right.
So then would you add like Austin Reeves, which is, I think, too much into that. But if you don't add Reeves, I don't know how else this would happen, because the Lakers have from there just Russ, LeBron, AD. And it gets into that whole thing we've talked about the issues that come with a roster that is basically just max deals and minimum dudes. Like you lose just so much optionality.
It is the probably most underrated downside of the Westbrook deal. And then not re-signing Caruso was this gigantic hole it left in their flexibility to be able to put a trade together in any kind of way that makes sense. Because, you know, if you have to deal, let's say they could do it, you have to deal five guys to make a trade for one.
For a team that has no depth anyway.
For a team with zero depth, exactly. So that becomes just a huge problem. All right, so by Friday's show, Andy, we should know who the 601 phone call was. We should know who any new Lakers will be. We should have an idea of where the rumor mill says the Lakers are going to be going. Friday's show is going to be very exciting. People should make sure they tune in. Of course, tune in for potential updates even over the course of the weekend. The 4th of July weekend in the NBA is always a little bit nutty. So we'll bring you news as it happens. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the video version of this show. And Doer is where you go to get the pants, DUER.com. We'll see everybody on Friday.